and now the comprehensive discussion about divorce itself. But the way it's dealt with is very unique. These two surahs, one of the things they have in common is that they both begin with Ya Ayyuhan Nabi. Right? This one begins with Ya Ayyuhan Nabi. The next surah also begins Ya Ayyuhan Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah addresses the Prophet directly, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Notice the other musabbihat began with the praise of Allah. Sabbaha lillahi, yusabbihu lillahi. Some sort of praise of Allah. Or Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu. You would expect Madani surahs to go the direction of Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu. But this is an unusual form of a beginning. And you know what makes it even more unusual in Surah At-Talaq is that the surah begins Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, but says immediately after Hunaka Iltifat, إذا طلقتم النساء طلقتم فاعله. What's the ضمير? أنتم لا أنت لا أنت. Prophet, when all of you divorce women, so the Prophet is addressed Ya Ayyuhan Nabi. Prophet, listen. And ayyuha is, by the way, like uslub al-takreem. So the Prophet is addressed with nobility. But also ayyuha, they say that the ha, the ay is actually the ism or harf nida. And the ha is ha at-tanbih. It's to get the attention. So Prophet, listen carefully. And he's being addressed this way. But then he's told, alayhi salatu wasalam, something that actually Allah intends to say to the community. When you people divorce women, when all of you divorce women, when that happens. Now the thing is, this is one of the mercies, because if the mothers of the believers heard Ya Ayyuhan Nabi إذا طلقت النساء ولم يقول إن قال إذا, is, you know, when you say in Arabic, it means if you divorce, then this and this. But he says when you divorce. Now what's the difference between if and when? When is inevitable, when is bound to happen. So Allah is already in the word إذا sharing with us that divorce is a reality. It's not like it can never happen or it might happen. It's going to happen around us. It is something that takes place. It has to be dealt with. As sad, as terrible as it is, as difficult as it is, as traumatic as it can be for the husband, the wife, in some cases children, the rest of the extended family, it still is a reality that needs to be dealt with. But this transition needs to be understood still. Why not Ya Ayyuhan Ladina Amanu? إذا طلقتم النساء فطلقوهن لعدتهن. لم يقل هكذا. He didn't just say, those of you who believe, when you divorce women, this is what you're supposed to do. He began with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Why? To highlight the unusually high priority of this hukum, this verdict, this principle. That it's addressed, obviously, everything that comes out of the Prophet's mouth, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is coming to him and to him through him to the community. But by saying Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, it's like he's told this is high priority. So I'm addressing you directly and make sure you make a real sermon out of this one. Prophet, make a real sermon out of this one to the community. They have to take this extra seriously. A couple of interesting things about divorce and about marital problems when they're talked about in the Quran. The dominant spiritual theme that comes whenever this subject is talked about is taqwa. Whenever divorce is talked about, taqwa is talked about. The ayat, beginning of the ayat, may talk about returning the mahar or paying it off or, you know, letting the wife fulfill her period of feeding the child and all of that stuff. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ وَاحْذَرُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Over and over again, Allah knows what you're doing. Allah is watching. Allah has full news. Watch out. Be careful of Him. Have taqwa of Him. Over and over and over and over again. And Allah Azza wa Jal, we talked about before, the difference between hyperbole and exaggeration, right? There is no exaggeration in the Qur'an. There's hyperbole. There's emphasis. So if Allah is emphasizing taqwa so much in the context of divorce, it means that's one of the first things to go. It disappears. When things go south in a marriage, taqwa disappears. People are not conscious of God anymore. They're not conscious of Allah, or a higher authority. They're just thinking about themselves, or they're thinking about their rage, their anger towards the other, their frustration towards the other. And so they can't think about this entity that's not there. You know, when somebody's going through problems, all they can do is think about their problems. When somebody has hatred towards somebody, lying down, sitting, standing, eating, they're just thinking about that one thing. And you could tell on their face, come on, just stop thinking about it. Just eat your food. No, I can't. She took all the money or whatever. Or something. There's that rage and it doesn't let go. So now, that's why taqwa is going to be mentioned over and over again. That's actually the first line of medication from Allah to deal with this problem in a healthy way. If taqwa is not there, then none of this advice will go anywhere. None of this will go anywhere. And I'll highlight again, if the Prophet ﷺ is told to make a priority out of sermoning people about divorce advice, obviously the entire community is being told, إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمْ إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمْ. And by the way, you know, one of the nuances of the word إِذَا in a fi'il madi that I haven't discussed with you before, is that it doesn't necessarily mean that whatever measures are being talked about, you do them when the time comes. You do them before it comes. So for example, you have فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Actually, the meaning is when you're about to read Qur'an, seek Allah's refuge. When you're about to read Qur'an, when you've made that intention, seek Allah's refuge. Okay? What I'm trying to say is, you're already, before you're going to read Qur'an, you're already going to do أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Right? So this law is not just a sermon you give to somebody who walks into a counseling center and says, I'm ready to get divorced. It's supposed to be education that's supposed to be there already. You're supposed to know what to do already. And that's why the Prophet is told, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to make a point out of sermoning the people in a very high priority way. Ya ayyuha nabi, idha talaqtum an-nisa. Okay. So when you are about to divorce women, فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ, then release them, divorce them, لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ, for their, you know, from the starting point. Idda is a count. Idda is a count. And you could say that their period or their duration, their deadline. But idda is used specifically because it comes from adad, from the time when the count actually matters or starts. Which means if they're in a period of impurity, the count doesn't start. And this is a big fiqhi detail. What are the exceptions to that? I'm not qualified or willing to share with you what I've read on it, because that's just not what I do. But the idea over, generally the idea is, you're supposed to, you know, not give your wives divorce while they're in a state of impurity. And actually some sahaba even went further, that between two states of impurity, you know, between two periods of mahid, if the husband and wife have had relations between the two periods, even then you're not supposed to give your wife divorce. Wait till the next cycle, and then let that cycle finish, and then if you want to give divorce. Why? You don't know if she got pregnant. And if she got pregnant, this might change everything. Not just in terms of the legalities, but even in terms of the psychology. How can I do this? She's going to become a mother. What about my baby? How's the baby going to be raised? These new thoughts are going to come in the mind. And it might change the equation. You might learn to live with each other. You know, one of the things I could tell you from experience is the relationship between husband and wife is completely different without children and completely different with children. These are two different relationships. You're like, wow. What is that? And then you meet people that are, you know, they're married and they don't have children. They're like, mashallah, you're enjoying something called marriage, but there's something else to marriage that you don't know about yet that will happen once you have children. The dynamics of the relationship completely, completely change. It's a beautiful thing, but it's also for husbands traumatic in the beginning. Right? Because, you know, now you're not, no longer the center of attention. And if you never were, then you're okay. But... you know, but now there's somebody else that hogs all the attention. Okay? So you're not going to be, she's not going to ask if you had dinner because the baby just burped. So, you know, but over time, when that relationship matures, then you're more parents than you are husband and wife, even though that's an important relationship. I mean, the husband-wife relationship needs to be maintained. You're not just parents. That's also a big mistake in some families. They just become parents and they're no longer husband and wife and they're miserable as a result. Because the only reason that the household is being held together is because of the kids. There's no real relationship left between the husband and the wife. That can also lead to divorce. That's a separate matter. But here, the idea is give them that deadline, leave that time be. And leave the period of impurity. Don't give them divorce at that time. The other thing also is, you know, there are other wisdoms. Because, you know, Allah says, فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. Stay away from the women in the time of their impurity. Now, the time of impurity, Allah calls it adha. Adha means pain. Literally means pain. Like, you know, the word we saw in Surah As-Saff, Musa alayhi salam said, لِمَ تُؤْذُونَنِي. Why do you cause me pain? That word is used for women when they are in their state of impurity. Now, when any human being is in pain, is it possible that they get agitated? Or they say things they don't mean? I know I'm not easy to talk to when I'm hungry. So if I'm extra hungry, I won't go home, I'll just eat something first and then go home. Because I don't want to like be in a bad mood with the kids. My kids, I know for a fact, like a couple of them, just develop a personality disorder if they're hungry. But they won't say they're hungry. They'll just be, aggressive towards their siblings, irritated, start crying randomly. I was like, just eat a banana. And all of a sudden, they're normal again. They're children again. Like, it wears off. The thing is, in that state, because you're already in a physical state of pain, when somebody's in a physical state of pain, it's understandable that they're irritable, that they may say things they don't otherwise mean. When somebody's sick, tired, exhausted, you know, one thing for sure, I mean, alhamdulillah, I have three sisters, a mom, a wife, daughters. Daughters, alhamdulillah, not yet. But I know for a fact, when my wife is exhausted, I don't know the difference between angry and tired. I can't, which one is it? I'm scared to ask, because if it's angry, then it's a bad question. It'll make her angrier. If I say tired, then I'll be like, why, you don't think I should be tired? You know? But angry and tired can get crossed over. They can get crossed over, and this can make the situation worse. So that's not the time for you to say anything. That's not the time to give your wife divorce. Let the period finish. فَأَحْصُلْ عِدَّةٍ وَأَحْصُلْ عِدَّةٍ And keep record of the period. Keep record of the time. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ And be cautious of Allah. رَبَّكُمْ Your master. And this is, you know, the believing community being talked to. They know who Allah is. Allah's attribute, رَبَّ By the way, He happens to be your master. What's that about? That's because the word Rabb is the fundamental term of authority between us and Allah. If the word Allah is the fundamental term for worship, because al-ibadah lillah, right? The fundamental term for authority with Allah, al-ubudiyya lil-rabb. Ubudiyya, slavery is to the Rabb. فَهُنَاكَ رَبْ وَهُنَاكَ عَبْدْ You're forgetting that you're a slave. You better watch these guidelines and you better put your feelings in check under Allah's guidelines for this relationship. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ You know, the marriage contract is not something light. In Islam, Allah calls it مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا in Surah An-Nisa. Women have taken from you an intense, strong, tough covenant, a contract. Mithaq, by the way, means when both parties know exactly what they're getting into. That's the same term for contract used for prophets when they delivered the message of Islam. Allah took a contract from prophets that they will deliver the message of Islam. That contract is also called mithaq. The contract we took from Allah before we came to this earth that we're going to be His slaves is also called mithaq. وَقَدْ أَخَذَ مِيثَاقَكُمْ Your mithaq has already been taken. That same word is used when Allah talks about the marriage contract. That qubul, whether you did it in Punjabi or Urdu or English, you know, do you accept? I accept. Qabiltu, qabilta, qabiltu, qabiltu, qabiltu. Those few words, mithaqan ghaliza. It's a divine contract now. So breaking that contract has very specific laws, regulations, and you cannot mess around with them. You know, people often, like if you go to like, for fun, if you go to like fiqh websites, like asktheSheikh.us or AU, like Australia or just weird sites. Like, there's not a website, I made that up. But anyway, so you go to these websites and you look at the most common questions. Oh, I got in a fight with my wife and I said, talaq, 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 talaq. I said, forget three, I'll do 30. You know, or I said it three times. Does that mean it's done? Because I feel really bad. I didn't really mean it. Is 3-1? Is 1-3? Not going to answer that question. I can't. But I will tell you this. This happened in the Prophet's time. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This happened in the Prophet's time. A sahabi gave divorce to his wife, said talaq 3 times in one row. Even though Allah says, At-talaqu marratan, revocable divorce is twice. Divorce that can be taken back is twice. He says 3 times, which means it's done. Or he thinks it's done, right? And then he comes back, which is, you know, what should I do? Is there a some sort of, you know, penalty I can pay or something? Or can we make that count as once? Because I didn't really mean it. Allah's Messenger says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُلْعَبُوا بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَا بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِكُمْ Allah's book is being toyed with, and I'm still among you. I'm still among you, and Allah's book is being toyed with. So whether that's legitimate or not is not the question. The Prophet's response should be enough, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for Muslims to understand. That education needs to be there. whoever says that three times should know that the Prophet's own reaction, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is, you are toying with the Book of Allah. It is offensive to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ لَا تُخْرِجُهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنَّ. Don't take them out of their homes. Subhanallah, al-balagha fi al-kalam. لم يقول لَا تُخْرِجُهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ لِأَنَّهَا مَا زَالَتْ بُيُوتَهُنَّ. He didn't say to them, don't take them out of your homes. He said, don't take them out of their homes. Because until it's finalized, it's still their homes. Until it's done, it's still their homes. And if the wife is smart, you know, maybe they got into a fight and he's got like temper issues, but she knows it wears off. Sometimes wives know their husbands really, really well. And if he's got like issues, she knows how to calm him down, like a good paratha, like some good baklava, or she, you know, puts on his favorite dress or something, or his favorite perfume, and she's just walking by, and he's like, argh. It's her home, so she can be as she is. She can calm down, and he'll be like, well, you know, I was kind of over angry. Can we just talk or something? Things will calm down. So that time period is given, because the farther you're apart, when you're apart from each other, you make more assumptions about each other. This happens in friendships. This definitely happens in marriage. The less time husband and wife spend with each other, the lower their tolerance gets for each other. Like if you're busy all day and you see each other just at night for like 10 minutes, then your entire frustrations of the day are let out in those 10 minutes towards each other. And each is thinking, I haven't seen you all day and this is what I get? This is what you have to give me? And then the rest of the day, the next 23 hours and 50 minutes, you're just thinking about what you went through for 10 minutes. And that aggression is building. So if the aggression is built to a point where divorce is happening, he said, I no longer want to be married to you. And he says talaq to her. Then don't take her out of the house. Don't take her out of her own house. She's around. She gets to be in his proximity, and hopefully things can calm down. Now there are two kinds of, in my opinion, this is not a fiqhi thing, it's a sociological thing, I could be entirely wrong. But in my opinion, there are two kinds of divorce. There's an emotional divorce, and there is an intellectual divorce. An emotional divorce is, you got really angry, heat of the moment, you said something stupid, and you regret it. So, you know, you're just high strung, and you didn't really mean it, and that's why the provision of you being able to take it back is there. But then there is, over time, you've come to understand that both of you just are not compatible. You're not a bad, she's not evil. You're not evil. It's just you have two different kinds of lives. You're just not compatible with each other. Things aren't working out to the best of your ability. You know, this is the kind of the Zainab situation, radiallahu anha. Right? This is sort of that situation. And Zayd radiallahu anhu, it's not an emotional thing. He doesn't hate her. They're just not compatible. It's not working. He's trying to make it work. They're both trying to make it work. It's just not clicking. And that's possible. It is possible. And somebody might say, how can that be if Allah made the pairs? Allah didn't say Allah made the permanent pairs. Even the sun and the moon are going to crash one day. Right? Allah made them pairs, but they're not going to be anymore. Everything has a deadline. And every experience we go through in life is a part of a lesson. We're not supposed to be mentally prepared for divorce. We're not supposed to talk about divorce among each other. Like, hey, so if we get divorced, I'll probably move to like a cooler city and do this. No, no, no. If you don't have problems, don't bring it up. Getting educated in it does not mean you discuss it. You know, things to discuss with the spouse, by the way, death. Death is something to discuss with the spouse. The custody of the children after you're gone is something to discuss with the spouse. Taking care of her parents or your parents is something to discuss with the spouse. But divorce isn't. Divorce isn't. You don't, you know, just because Allah has left that option open, doesn't mean we casually discuss it. It's not something that we should casually discuss. Anyhow, don't take them out of their homes. وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَا. And they shouldn't leave themselves. I'm leaving. No. They shouldn't come out. إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَا بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ. Except if they've committed, or if they commit an open act of shamelessness, meaning they've cheated on their husband, and it's open and clear, and there's no ambiguity about it, there's no doubt about it whatsoever. That's why the word mubina, which is usually used, is not even enough. Mubayyina, taf'il, is to hyperbolize it. Absolutely clear act of indecency, of infidelity to the husband. Something absolutely, absolutely clear. Now, some ulama look at the word fahisha and think of it as zina, as I tried to explain in my translation just now. Other ulama look at the word fahisha and think of it as any lewd, indecent behavior, any major, major crime, because fahisha literally is something that is the antithesis of decency. Anything that's not decent is fahish. Okay? So if they become really inappropriate, like they start, filling the children's ears with poison, or they start, violating your parents' rights in a very terrible way, and all kinds of crazy things they start doing, then okay, yeah, maybe you should leave. Because you staying here is creating more problems. It's not making things better. The purpose of holding them back, the purpose of the woman staying back, is maybe there's room for reconciliation. Maybe something can be worked out. Okay? وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. And those are the bounds set by Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. And whoever crosses the limits, the boundaries set by Allah, فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Then he's only wronged himself. You see, when the husband sometimes, he holds the wife back, but not for the purpose of reconciliation. This is talked about in Baqarah. وَلَا تُمْسِكُهُنَّ دِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا. Don't hold them back just so you can hurt them. No, 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 no. Divorce, yes, you can go. But I have a shari'i period where you have to stay in the house, and let me get my fill of psychological and physical torture out of you first. So he's only holding her back so he can get his grudge out. And he can, abuse her psychologically even more. That's, again, toying with the law of Allah. Allah says, you think you're hurting somebody else. You're not hurting anybody else. You're only digging your hole deeper. فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. He's only wronging himself. لَا تَدْرِي لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ أَسِفْ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا. You don't know. Perhaps Allah, after that, is going to create a new situation. بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا implies, okay, so the divorce is done, and you're in that period, and possibly Allah might create new feelings inside you, and you might just be like never before. You might start fresh. I personally believe that human beings are capable of fresh starts. That's my personal belief. I believe that because Allah has the institution of tawbah. The most intimate relationship human beings are ever going to have is with Allah. And Allah gives human beings a chance to start with that fresh. No matter how big your rap sheet of crimes is, with tawbah, it can all disappear, and you can go from Umar, the great criminal, to Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu al-Faruq in Ashara al-Mubashara, right? He can become that. Human beings have the ability to turn around. And if that most sacred relationship can be turned around, then I don't believe there's any relationship that's beyond repair. Any relationship can be repaired. The issue with repair is two things. It's caution. On the one hand, you have to be careful not to fall into the same traps. To recognize I've gone down this road before, I should recognize before I'm a mile deep that I've gone one step in, and you should no, I got to pull back. I know where this road leads, right? So you identify and take caution of your behavior. That's taqwa, caution. On the other hand, there's optimism, and optimism is rooted in the in our relationship with Allah. Our optimism is rooted in the term tawakkul. I told you one of the fundamental terms that comes up in matters of divorce is taqwa. The second one is tawakkul, trust in Allah. Because without trust in Allah, you can't be optimistic. Things are going to get better. And you know what? When people have a fight and they say, okay, let's make up. Let's not fight again. Inshallah, we'll never do this again. But in the back of the mind of the husband and the wife, chances are. I mean, we've done this how many times already? I'm pretty sure we're going to do this again. This is a lack of tawakkul. There's a lack of tawakkul that Allah really can turn the hearts and change them entirely. There is such a thing as being emotionally scarred. There is such a thing. But there's also such a thing as divine healing that human beings can't even understand. That's something Allah gives. And if we have tawakkul in Allah, Allah gives it. And you're able to have a fresh start. There are many instances where one talaq was given. One talaq was given, And after one talaq was given, Allah put something in their hearts and they realized how bad it would be. And they got, the husband and wife got back together, and they've never been happier. I'm not saying that's a formula. But it can happen. It can happen. You know, one of the things that the Christian community is far ahead of us in is marriage counseling and marriage sermons. They're far ahead of us. This is something we have far more teachings on, and they have far more concern in. It saddens me. Because if you listen, if you tune into like Christian talk radio, which I do, there are entire day-long programs dedicated to healthy marriages, dedicated to what the husband can do for the wife, what the wife can do for the husband. There was a church I went by in Grapevine somewhere, driving, they've got a huge banner that says man versus. It says man versus flesh, food, entertainment, beer. And they're doing a whole day, like week-long thing of how are men supposed to combat their temptations, and wife, kids, like they had a whole thing. And this is something, I admire that their concern for these things, but I pity them also because they don't have the kind of guidance we have on these things. We have prophetic guidance on this stuff, but we don't go out of our way to educate our community in it. We don't. And this is a serious problem. Understand that this cluster of surahs are about what makes the Muslim community as a whole weak and how they're supposed to be raised again. That's what I told you in the beginning. Surah Al-Munafiqun, one of the biggest problems of the community. The fruits of Iman, Iman being weak, Surah Al-Taghabun. Surah Al-Hadid, us losing sight of what we're supposed to be sent for on this earth. Surah Al-Saf, the domination of this deed. Surah Al-Jum'ah, the methodology of the Prophet ﷺ. All these surahs are about how do we become a strong community. And at the end, the climax is supposed to be, okay, all right. You know, like at the end of the convention, you have the big speech about the big grand vision. Allah says, no, at the end of this entire thing, you have the building block, marriage itself. It's supposed to be a huge concern in the Muslim community. And you know one of the things we haven't educated ourselves in? What's life like after divorce? People think of divorce as, I got problems right now, the solution must be divorce. They haven't given thought to, what's divorce life like? What is that like? What does that do emotionally to someone? We talk to people that have gone through it. Have you seen kids that are, you know, that are of divorced parents? What their life is like? How they feel about it? We don't weigh all the options before we choose this route. You know, من نظر في العواقب سلم من النوائب فلا ننظر في العواقب. We don't look at the consequences. That's an education in and of itself. To learn from those who've treaded down this path already.